I'm going to begin our reading in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Always questioning God's word and doubting it and always changing it, trying to change it. It's a good way to identify the enemy. Amen. He's the author of doubt and confusion. She said, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We'll stop reading there. I'm interested in verse number 9. The question that God asked Adam will be our text for tonight. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for giving relief to our soul. Thank you for giving help, Lord, in these days. Thank you, Lord, for the great difference in the service tonight versus even this morning. And we give you the praise for that. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your people spending some time praying this evening, Lord, concerning the warfare that we're in. Lord, I pray you help us now as we endeavor to preach. I pray you'll put that special anointing and that special touch and power on us that will make preaching effective. Lord, I'm not here to perform or to show off, show out, but I do want to point people's attention to you and your word and what you said. I pray the Spirit of God will deal with every heart of this building tonight. Bring Holy Spirit of God conviction in the service and draw people to yourself. Lord, you know where every person is in this building. You know where every person is in this building, just as you knew where Adam was. But yet the question came, Where art thou? And I pray you will speak to our heart this evening. Challenge us, Lord, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse number 9, the Bible said, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now, this is the first question in the Bible. You've heard me mention this before. It is the very first question in your Bible, and it is a question of God seeking out a man. Well, the first question in the New Testament is found there in Matthew chapter number 2. The wise men came. The very first question in the New Testament was asked, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" So you have the first question in the Old Testament, God seeking a man. First question in the New Testament, you find man seeking God. And I tell you where business will pick up. It's when God finds man and man finds God. Amen? I tell you, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to anybody, is to be saved by the grace of God. Until you're fulfilling your created purpose, you'll never be happy. Until you know the Creator, you'll never be happy. Amen. You can have all the world and all of its riches, all of its pleasure, all of its popularity, and I'll tell you, until you know the love of God, till you know Jesus, you will be one miserable, unsatisfied, discontented individual. No matter what. Amen. Happiness comes from knowing Jesus. Amen. Knowing Jesus and living for the Lord. Well, I'm interested in this question tonight. Where art thou? And we're going to look at this question, and we're going to try to pick it apart and deal with it, and just hopefully it'll deal with us tonight. Amen? Hopefully it will deal with us. Where art thou? Can you answer that question tonight? Amen. I mean, really, could you answer that question spiritually tonight? Where art thou? I was making a visit over in the Caney Creek area several years ago, and I was coming around a curve, and I noticed out in the field to my left, I noticed out in the field was a young girl that was running through a pasture field hysterically. I could tell that there was something major wrong. And so I just pulled over and got out of the car and stood on the side of the road, and I could hear her screaming as she was running. She'd run this way several yards, and then she'd turn and run that way, and just no direction in her life, no destiny, just aimlessly running in a frenzy. And she was screaming to the top of her lungs, "I'm lost! Somebody help me! I'm lost! Somebody help me!" I mean, I thought, my soul, how could she be lost? There's houses all around. I could even see a steeple or two in the area. And I thought, how in the world could this girl be lost? Well, I didn't know really what to do. I thought, man, wow, this is serious. And so I flagged down another man as he came by, and he got out, and we talked and discussed about the situation, what we needed to do. And so we thought, well, we're going to try to catch her if we can. We're going to try to at least get close and talk to her, you know, find out what's going on and try to help her if we can. And so we crossed the fence and out through the pasture we went, and the closer we got to her, the worse she got. Amen. I guess because we were strangers, on top of the fact that she was lost, now she's fearing other things. Amen. And we was trying to calm her down and everything. And finally, the end of the result was that she was lost, and we helped her to find where she needed to be. But she was screaming, "I'm lost." You know what she was saying? "I don't know where I am." You'll never know where you need to be, and you'll never get there unless you know where you're at. I've got in my car a map, an atlas. Thank God for an atlas. And some of you have got an additional navigational system called a GPS. Amen. And you know those things are, it's amazing how they can tell you where you need to be. Roads to take and all that. But you know one key factor that is important? You've got to know where you are. Where art thou? A map will do you no good if you don't know where you're at. You may know where you need to be. You may know where you're going. But if you don't know where you're at, you'll never know how to get there. Amen? Amen. It was called GPS. God has one too. Amen? That's right. God's positioning system. Amen. But where are you tonight? I believe that's a good question. You say, "Well, preacher, it's evident. I'm right here on a pew. I'm in Rogersville Baptist Temple, Rogersville, Tennessee." Amen. April 5th. I'm here. Right? Can't you see me? Hello, preacher. I'm right here. No, I'm not asking where you are physically. I'm not asking where you... And I don't believe God was really implying and asking, Adam, where are you physically? I don't believe He was asking that. I believe He was asking, Adam, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Amen. Amen. Most of us know where we are physically. Amen. Most of us know where we are financially. That's depressing. Amen. Most of us know where we are materially. We know the things that we own. We know everything about. We know where a house is and all that. But where are we spiritually? Probably the most important question in the Bible is, where art thou? Asked from the lips of God. But many of us can't even answer that question. Where art thou? Well, I want to look at that tonight, if the Lord will help me, and just kind of try to mind the Lord through this and preach as the Lord will help me. The first thing I want to point out is the provocation of this question. What provoked this question? This question didn't just fall out of the sky. This question didn't just fall off the lips of God. There was something that provoked God, motivated God, inspired God to ask the question. And I began to look at this, and I began to pray on it and meditate on it. And here's what it was. God made Adam for the main purpose of fellowship. Amen? God made Adam for fellowship. God wanted to have companionship and fellowship out of Adam and Eve. Well, I believe that He had that. I believe that He had that in the garden, and I believe God came in the cool of the day to walk with Adam and to talk with Adam and to fellowship with Adam. I believe, as at other times, and then when God got to where Adam once was, and that he was no longer there, then God asked the question, where art thou? In other words, God was saying, hey Adam, I know where you're not. You're not where I expected you to be. I expected you to be here. I expected you to be obeying my commandment. I expected you to be, right and spiritual and so forth. But Adam, you're not where I expected you to be. You're not where I want you to be. You're not where you should be, Adam. So the question comes, where art thou? Where art thou? Where art thou? Now I want to ask you this, or I want to make this statement. God is not asking this question to obtain information. God is not saying, Adam, I don't know where you're at. But will you answer and will you help me? Will you answer and so I'll know where you're at? No, God knows where we are. Amen. God knows where we are. Amen. That's true. Amen. There's no doubt about that. And it looks to me like God knowing where we are, He'd send a message every once in a while that would deal with us. Amen. We've got more sin in church today than's ever been, and we've got the least amount of preaching against sin that's ever been in the history of the church. It's amazing, isn't it? That don't add up. You can't get 2 and 2 equals 4 out of that. That don't add up. More sin in church than's ever been, but yet there's the least amount of preaching on it that's ever been. Something's wrong with that picture. Sounds like a bunch of hirelings, sounds to me like. Amen? Sounds to me like somebody's in it for a paycheck instead of pleasing the Lord. But God knows where we're at tonight. Amen? God knows where we are. He does. Amen? But God knew Adam was supposed to be in a certain place, but Adam was absent. What if God shows up here on Sunday morning and He said, where art thou? Expecting you to be here and you're not here. What if He shows up in Sunday school? Where art thou? Expecting you to be there. You weren't there. Amen. Sunday night. Amen. Wednesday night. Visitation, whatever. Amen. God expects you to be there. Adam's absence and decline and unfaithfulness is what provoked God to ask the question. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you where God expects you to be? Are you where God fellowshipped with you in times past? Amen. A second thing I'd like to deal with, not only what provoked that question, the provocation of the question. But number two, I would like to deal with the examination of this question. This question was being asked for a purpose of evaluation or examination. God wanted Adam to stop and look and examine and evaluate his life as to where he was. Amen. I've said this so many times, I almost feel like a broke record saying it, but I'm telling you it's so powerful. And that is the simple truth that your spirituality is your responsibility. Amen? Y'all ever heard that before? It won't be the last either, amen? But your spirituality is your responsibility. You need to evaluate your life. You need to examine your life and keep your focus on where you are because you may not be there. If you don't listen, think about this. If you're not looking at where you are, examining where you are, evaluating where you are spiritually, then you may not be there, and you may not know you're there, not there. In other words, you may have drifted. You may have lost ground and not even know it. If you don't pay attention to your spiritual life, amen? Now I want to say a couple of things here. Listen to this. God did not ask. I'm interested in what God did not ask, too. God did not ask, "Who art thou?" See, that's what the world would ask. You know, if you're not in the who's who category, and you know, if you're not big name and popular and special and accepted, and you know, the who's who, then you're a nobody. God didn't ask, "Who are you?" God says, "Where are you?" Because where you are is more important than who you are. Are you listening? Where you are is more important than who you are. Here another question. He did not ask, "What art thou?" He didn't ask, "What are you?" Amen? Why? Because where you are tells what you are. Where you are tells what you are. Amen? So he didn't ask. He didn't ask, "Who art thou?" He didn't ask, "What art thou?" He didn't ask, "Where are others?" He didn't ask, "Where are others?" Now, we're classic. We're professionals at that. We can tell where everybody else is. You know why we can tell where everybody else is? That's who we're focusing on. That's who we're looking at. Amen? But God didn't ask, "Where's others? Where's the others?" God says, "Where art thou?" He didn't ask Adam even where his wife was. Adam, where art thou? That's pretty personal, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Because he is the spiritual leader of the house. He figured, you know, wherever Adam was, Eve was. Amen. So he did not ask, "Where are the others?" Here at number four, he didn't ask, "Where is God?" Or, "Where am I?" He didn't ask that question. Amen. Because it wasn't important where God was. You don't have to worry about God drifting. You don't have to worry about God not being where He needs to be. Amen? The question is not where was God, where is God? But the question is, where art thou? Amen? I thought that's good. Amen? Amen. He didn't ask, "Where was thou?" I know that's not good English, but you understand. Amen? I come from Roswell, North Carolina, and English wasn't a good subject there no how. Amen? You talked English, nobody understood you anyway. He did not ask. I want you to get that. He did not ask, "Where was thou?" Or, "Where did you used to be?" See, God is interested in one thing in your life right now. Not where you was, but where art thou? That's what God is interested in. Where art thou? Amen? All right, listen to this. He did not ask, "Where are you planning to be?" Everybody's got a lot of intentions. "Well, preacher, I'd like to be here, and I plan to be here, and when I'm this age or whatever, I'm going to be doing thus and so." Hey, that's not it. God wants to know right now, at this second, at this minute, where art thou spiritually? Where art thou right now, presently? Where art thou? God is concerned about your right now spirituality. There's been times in my life I could have told you, man, I was close to God. But then there's times that I could have told you that I wasn't close to God. Amen? God wants to know where we're at right now. Right in this very minute, where are we spiritually? Amen? Scale 1 to 10, where would you be? Where would you rate your spiritual standing with God? Amen. Amen. I want to mention also, not only that, but let me deal with this. I believe spirituality is a locational issue. Where art thou? That's what God wanted to know. I want to know where you're at, because wherever you're at, that is your condition. That is your condition. It's a locational issue. Spiritually, your location is important. Amen? God was not asking, where are you at in the garden? God was asking, where are you at in relation to me? Where are you at in relation to me? Amen? God is not asking, what state are you in, but rather, what state are you in? Amen? God cannot help you or me until we first evaluate and find out where I am and be honest about it. God cannot help me and He can't help you until we know where we are. Somebody called you on the phone and says, could you help me? I need some direction. I think I'm lost. The first question that you've got to get an answer of, where are you at? Look around. Tell me, where are you? Give me some landmarks. Give me something. Tell me something. A road sign. The red barn in the curb. Something. Give me something that would kindly let me know where you are. There's no help for nobody that don't know where you're at. Amen. God can't help you until you know where you are. God can't help you till you know where you're at spiritually. But it requires you to be honest about it. You've got to be honest about it. You can't cover it up and say, well, I'm over here doing great. Who are you fooling? Who would Adam be fooling? Oh, God, it's good to hear from you today, even if it is from a distance. I hear your voice, God, but I'm over here behind the oak tree. I've ran, me and my wife, we've hid ourselves. Why would we do that? Amen? Not where we need to be. Not where we need to be. Well, then I want to deal with the third thing, not only what provoked the question or the provocation of the question, and then also the examination of the question. But I'd like to move a little bit further and deal with a third issue, and that is simply the response of the question. The response of the question, or if you were making an outline, you could say the revelation of the question. What's the answer? Could I say when God asks a question, He expects an answer? I still hear my daddy's voice ringing loud in my subconscious. Answer me, boy, when I ask you a question. Amen. Amen. He asked a question. He meant for it to be answered. And it didn't take me long to realize daddy was in the answer. He wanted me to be in the answering business. God, when He asks a question, expects an answer. God wants it to be thought-provoking. God wants us to evaluate our life and see where we are. Oh, I know it's simple, but I want to stress it again. God is not asking, where were you? Where did you used to be? Where were you at last Sunday? Where were you at in the middle of the week? Where were you at even yesterday? Or where were you at this morning? God is saying, hey, right now, tonight, where art thou? God is interested in our present location spiritually. Because our location, spiritually, is our condition. So there is the revelation. God expects an answer. If you examine yourself, God wants you to tell Him what you find. That'd be a good thing to pray about. Tell God what you find. Some of us might be able to say this sometime. God, I've examined myself and here's what I found. Here's where I'm at, Lord. I'm in coldness. I'm in carnality. I'm calloused. I'm unconcerned. I'm detached. I'm distant. Amen. Amen. Where art thou? Is a question that demands revelation. Amen. God talks to us through His Scriptures and through His Holy Spirit. Now, God's not going to come audibly at your bedside tonight and say, hey, wake up. Where art thou? You've ate too many onions as that happens. God don't do that. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And I believe this question is not just a one-time question in Genesis, but I believe it's a question that will come frequently from the Spirit of God and through the Scriptures and through preaching. Where art thou? Amen? Every time that we hear preaching, we ought to hear God asking us, where are you? Where are you in relation to the text? Where are you in relation to the subject? Guilty or not guilty? Amen. Where art thou? There is a revelation involved in this question. Amen. What do you find? If you examine yourself, you'll find something. Where art thou? What's the results? Amen. But you know what man will do? And when I talk about man, I'm talking about the human beings in general. We'll do like Adam and Eve. We'll avoid the question and run from it. Amen? See, Adam wasn't running from the question. He was running from the one asking the question. See, your problem is not with the question. Your problem is with the God of the question. And the revelation of the question. When we examine ourselves, many times we don't like what we see. And so what we'll do many times is we'll seek to avoid the question. We will run and hide. We will try our best to run from the question. And many will do that. God will deal with a person and where art thou? And you know what they'll do? They associate that with conviction. This question brought conviction on Adam and Eve. And you know what a lot of people do? They'll run from conviction. They go to a church service and boy, the Spirit of God gets on them and they're under conviction and they feel guilty. They feel that guilt and God hems them up in a corner. You know what they'll do? A lot of times they won't even come back. Oh, don't run from conviction. If you're here today and you're lost, don't run from conviction. God gets to dealing with you and troubling you. You can't sleep, turning your pillow into a stone. Your appetite's leaving. You're miserable. Hey, don't run from Him. Run to Him. Amen. Oh, yeah, don't run from Him. It's going to get worse. You run from Him, it's going to get worse. Run to Him. Run to Him. Because when you run to Him, He don't have to ask the question no more. Where art thou? Because you're at His side. You're in fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. Live a life to where He don't have to ask you, where art thou? You'll be able to say, good morning, Lord. Amen. Be like Enoch and walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a God that can be experienced and fellowship with. When it said Enoch walked with God, that wasn't a figure of speech. That wasn't some parenthetical expression. That was reality. We can have fellowship with Him. Oh, don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. Don't hide from the question. Don't cover up the issue by blaming others. Well, I tell you what, God, the answer to that question can be found in this. You gave me the woman and it was her fault. You know what He's trying to do? Avoid the question. Run from the question. Hide the question. Distort the answer. Amen. Try to look out for old me first. Remember we preached that? Trying to look out for old me first. Lord, it's not my fault. I'm just a victim of circumstances. Yep. Cain and Abel, you know the story. Cain done an awful thing. Cain killed his brother. Did you know God gave him a chance to get right? God confronted him and God asked him, where is your brother? Gave him a chance to be honest. Listen, gave him a chance to be honest and gave him a chance to be truthful. But he lied. He lied about it. The Bible said in Genesis 4 and 9, when he was asked, where is Abel thy brother? And Cain lied and said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? A sure, definite sign that you'll never get some help is when you're not honest. Amen. When you're not honest, just say, Lord, I've sinned. It's me. I'm not where I used to be. Amen. And then could I not only deal with the provocation of the question and the examination of the question and the revelation of the question. But then there's a last thing I'd want to deal with. And that's the investigation of this question. What are some things you're supposed to investigate? And I'll deal with that in just a minute. Let me just pull off of that thought there for this just a moment. If you're here today and you're lost, God's wanting to ask you tonight, where art thou? Could I help you with that? If you're lost, let me just help you to know where you're at. Because you'll never want to be found if you don't see yourself lost. You are right now, if you're lost, you are right now as I speak, underneath the judgment, condemning wrath of God. You say, but preacher, I don't feel it. John chapter 3, was it verse 18? He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. So there is listen, God's done had your court case. God has done found you guilty as a transgressor. God has found you guilty as, my friend, a lawbreaker of God's Word. And the wages of sin is death. So right now, my friend, your case has done been tried. You're guilty. Listen, the penalty is already death, eternal separation. And only the mercy of God is keeping that penalty from being carried out. You're one step away from eternity. You're one breath away from eternity. I'm telling you, there's no hope for you outside of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and you better do it quickly. Where art thou? Amen. Amen. The devil don't want you to think about those things. But anyway, the question of the investigation of the question. What are some of the particulars that you should consider? And I just want to mention this one simply first because it's in our text and it's dealt with. Is where are you concerning the commandments of God or His Word? Adam, have you done what I told you not to do? Adam, who told you you was naked? Have you sinned? Adam, have you disobeyed? He wasn't asking again for it. He wasn't asking for advice. He wasn't asking for information. He was wanting to see if Adam would confess. He was wanting to see if Adam would be honest and say, Lord, I've sinned. But he didn't. He started covering it up and running from the issue. But the investigation is, where are you in relation to this book? You know, I preached it here about out of the book of Jonah, how that Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. The voice of the Lord came unto Jonah. God called to Jonah there in chapter 1. And then the Bible said he rose up to flee from the presence of God. Remember me said that? Remember me preaching on the presence, the Word of God is the presence of God. You can't separate the two. Well, I noticed when we read the text there just a few minutes ago, it's the same here. Verse number 8. And they heard the voice. You hear that? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In other words, they heard His Word. Alright? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence. The particular thing that's being implied here in this question that you need to investigate is, how do you stand with the Word of God? Shame on us, shame on us, saved or lost. Shame on us that the blood that was shed so we could have a Bible. People died over this Bible. Now, nobody's died over the NIV. That's right. If they died over that, it's because they made too much money. Because it's copyrighted. Amen? That's right. That's not the Word of God. That's not the Word of God. Amen. I don't want to get on that, but I'll tell you, listen, it's a shame that God went through what He went through and men have went through what they went through so we could have a King James Bible, which is God's Word for English-speaking people. It's not copyrighted. It's not a money issue. Somebody told me about a good book the other day, and I said, who published it? And they told me the publisher, and I said, he said, I don't know what Bible they use. I said, if Zondervan put it out, it's NIV. Amen, because they got to get their pockets coated. Amen. You don't have to ask nobody nothing to use this blessed King James Bible, praise God. Amen. Well, I can't understand it. Well, I'm sorry, it's written on an 8th grade level. Or even, no, is it less than that? It may be less than that. I think it's less than that. But anyway, praise God. How are we standing? Where art thou? He was asking him, I gave you a commandment. I remember Brother Mark teaching, what was it? They had a 2-verse Bible. Adam and Eve had a 2-verse Bible and couldn't even line up with a 2-verse Bible. Amen. Just don't eat of that one tree and you'll be doing fine. And they failed with one commandment. Where does this crowd get salvation in the commandments? God, if you keep the commandments, you can be saved if you keep a commandment. Adam and Eve only had one commandment in a perfect environment and couldn't keep it. That shows the frailty of our human nature. Amen. 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 The only thing we're good at is sinning. Amen. The only thing we're pretty productive at is sinning. Amen. Getting crossed up with God. That's right. Hey, where art thou in relation to the Word of God? Because this is the voice of God and this is the presence of God. Amen. Right here in Rogersville Baptist Temple, probably shock you. What pitiful relationships people's got with the Word of the Lord. Amen. What priority does that Bible have in your life? Amen. What relationship you have with the Word is your relationship to God. Amen. You can't go days and days without reading the Word of God and be spiritual. You can't be close to God if you're not close to the Bible. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, the flesh don't want to pick up the Bible. The flesh want to pick up the remote. The flesh will want to get a hold of the mouse pad. The flesh will want to do all those things instead of get the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You ought to get up and say, before I do anything, I'm reading the Bible. Before I go anywhere, I'm reading the Bible. Amen. Don't get up 5 minutes before you have to punch in on the clock. Amen. Get up in time to read the Word of God. Amen. If you've got a report at your house that tomorrow morning, an hour and a half before you're supposed to be at work, we're going to give you a news telecast on television, tell you that you have won $5,000 and where to go get it. Would you get up early? You don't have to answer that. The fact that you're human answers that. You mean to tell me, preacher, if I get up early and turn it on, this so-and-so is going to tell me where I can find a treasure? I'm getting up early. I lose a little sleep. Amen. Right here is the treasure chest. God's, amen. Get up a little early, get in it, and see if you don't find some gems and jewels and riches and treasures. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, this is your roadmap. This is your roadmap. This is your guide. It's your food. It's your... David esteemed it more necessary than the food that he eats. Sure, it's wonderful, the Word of God. God's asking Adam and Eve, where art thou in relation to the commandments I've given you? This Bible's full of do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Not just don'ts, do's. Amen? Where are we in relation to the Word of God? I think that's a good question. I think that's a good question. That's what's being asked right here in our text. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it more of a struggle to do wrong than to do right? You know, we said a lot this morning. I said it as well about struggling. Do we have more of a struggle to do right? Or to do wrong? Do we have a greater struggle to do wrong? Harder to do wrong than it is to do right? Most time it's not. Amen? But anyway, the Bible said in 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous." I was preaching in Augusta the other day. I'm about done. I was preaching in Augusta, Georgia, and they let an 8-year-old boy get up and preach in front of me. Give him, I think it was 5 minutes or 7 minutes or something. And he'd been preaching since he was 5, I think it was. And I thought, man, this is interesting. I mean, this is interesting. His Bible was bigger than he was, nearly. And I'm telling you, he got behind that pulpit, and I could tell it wasn't his first time. He got behind the pulpit and he read this verse, John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he lit into preaching for about 5 to 7 minutes like the woods was on fire. I'm telling you, boy, that was a blessing to see a little old boy like that preaching the Word of God. God had called him to preach, amen? And there is a call to preach. God had called him to preach. And he'd been preaching for 3 or 4 years already at that time. Boy, that's wonderful. I tell you, I made a big deal of that when I got up to preach, amen? I felt intimidated. That's the truth. I felt intimidated. I said, "Praise God, son, you keep preaching. You keep letting her rip." I encouraged him for a while. Amen. But revival will never come through the door of disobedience to God's Word. A second thing let me mention quickly, and that is simply this, in this investigation of the question, where art thou concerning the commandments of God, but where art thou concerning fellowship and intimacy? God came and walked with Adam. God made Adam for fellowship. And I asked the question this morning, how are you concerning fellowship? I believe fellowship with God. Listen, you can have a relationship with God and not be spiritual. You can have a relationship, and I mean relationship, father-son, father-child, have the new birth, be saved, and still be one miserable human being. Amen. Spirituality comes out of fellowship. Talking to Him. Hearing His voice. Amen. Let Him speak to you. And how are you? How are we? Where are we? Where are we concerning intimacy and fellowship? Many have sold out their spirituality for social acceptance and popularity. Where are we in relation to sin? Where are we in relation to sin? Do we hate it? Do we hate it? The Bible talks about hating sin. Do we hate sin? I think the question asked tonight is, where art thou? Where art thou? And you know what? That's a question that each one of you, as well as me, will have to answer for ourselves. Because the question was, where art thou? You can't go to somebody else and say, where am I? The question is, you've got to look at your own life and see where you are spiritually. Are you where God wants expect you to be or ask you to be? If not, then you're going to have the question, where art thou? Let's all stand to our feet.